All right. Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be back with you all this morning. Thank you for having us. We're going to be starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's begin in verse 25. The Bible says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come to you again, I want to thank you for being so good to us, loving us and dying for us. I ask that you please use me according to your will and speak to you people as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be going over the gift and ministry of helps. The gift and ministry of helps. So look, we just read the scripture. I ain't trying to put what the Lord said into any better words, but everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody ain't a Sunday school teacher. Can't be a song leader. Everybody can't be a missionary. Everybody can't sing. I mean, everybody can't do all sorts of stuff, right? Everybody ain't going to be able to stand at that door and shake hands as people walk in. If you're about like me, you're going to say, you sound like Porky Pig as they walking in, right? It's just nice to have you, you know? Everybody can't do it. The Lord has given different gifts and different ministries to different people. And we know that some people have received multiple gifts, multiple ministries that they can use, that the Lord has afforded them. Well, this morning we're going to go over the gift of helps. I'd heard it preached on once. That's not to say it ain't been preached on a million times, right? But I do believe it's a gift and a ministry that's often overlooked, and people don't pay it enough attention. You ain't got to be talented to be a help to somebody. I'm proof of that. I think I told you last time, I have no natural talent to do anything, right? I can do almost anything subpar. And anything above that is just the grace of God, okay? I have no natural ability to hunt. I have no natural ability to fish. I can survive, but that's about the extent of it. I have a cousin who can walk in the middle of Talladega, sit in the town square and kill a 12-point buck. Y'all met Brother Reed. Brother Reed could find a mud hole out there after a hard rain and catch a 10-pound bass. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is. I can't do that. I could catch a little old brim and feed myself half of it, my wife the other half. That'd be about the extent of my talent, okay? When it comes to trades, I can paint. Brother Jared taught me how to paint, right? I think I'm decent, but he's far better than I am, right? I mean, there's always somebody a whole lot better at it than me. But what I can do is I can hold a flag, right? I can help somebody. You break down on the side of the road, buddy, I hope it ain't nothing more than you need a tire changed. Because if it's big, I ain't no help to you. But what I can do is hold a flashlight while you stand there and try to figure it out. Right, you can say more to the left, and I'll move it. Right, I can be a help. I can be a blessing somehow or another. Well, that's the extent of it. We went to a winter youth retreat a couple years ago now, and Brother Tony was down there, and Brother Hunter was down there with us. Brother Tony's air conditioning went out in his room, or the heat. It might have been the heat because it was wintertime. Anyway, he come running out, running down the porch, finding Brother Hunter. Hey, man, our heat done went out. Brother Hunter's an AC man, right? So he knows how to fix it. He has all the tools in his truck that he drove down there, right? He goes, he pulls out some part. I can't tell you what the name of it is. He walks around there. He looks at it. He flips it, changes it out, and heat is restored to the building. You know what I done? I held the flashlight. He say, more to the left. Right there. That's all I can do, right? Anybody can be a help. Anybody. You don't have to have any natural talent. You don't have to have any certain ability, right? Anybody can be a help both spiritually and physically to other people. Well, I heard Dr. Clarence Sexton say the other day, you were either pastoring a church or helping someone pastor a church. Now then, one day when the Lord provides you another pastor, whoever it may be, you can be a help to that man. See, he can't do it all on his own. Now then, he might be the spiritual leader, and he's the one leading the flock, but there's going to be some burdens he has that, buddy, it's going to weigh heavy on him. And you can be a help with those burdens. You might not be able to remove them, but you can help ease them. We find, number one, that Aaron and Hur helped ease Moses' burden. The Bible says over in the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus 17. And beginning in verse 10, it says, so and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So we know Aaron was the high priest of the Levites, right? But Aaron also had another gift. He was able to be a help to Moses. Hur was a help to Moses. Now then, Moses had a heavy burden on him. Look, in and of itself, his hands ain't heavy, right? I can hold my hands up for a pretty good while. At boot camp, they made us do this. You learn pretty quick that it'll weigh you down real easy. They used to call it praying to Buddha. He's like, who's Buddhist in here? Nobody raised their hand. You say, you about to be. He said, pray to Buddha. Or you go, pray to Buddha, either way, right? And that would be their form of punishing you. You'd stick your hands out. And he's like, no, you can't do it like that. That's too easy. You flip it around, and buddy, if they drop below a 90 degree, you about to get whooped again, right? He'd be like, all right, start over. Brown done messed it up for everybody. So you'd start all the way over. He'd say, put your hands up. We're praising the Lord today. And we'd put our hands up. They better not come down, right? It's just your hands. They get heavy after a while. Old Moses' burden, it got heavy after a little bit. Now then, it wasn't nothing huge. It wasn't nothing out of the way. You might look and be like, Moses, that's just your hands you're holding up. You ain't got a rod. You ain't got a staff. You ain't got a rock. You ain't got nothing but your hands holding them up. It might be that that man has just become weary in well-doing. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. Well, it says that because you will do it, right? It's in there for a reason. It's easy to get tired and wore out just doing what you know you're supposed to do. So it'll get tiring praying. You can wear out reading your Bible. You can wear out preaching. You can wear out doing a whole lot of things for the Lord. You can wear out going door-to-door soul winning. Man, you go door-to-door soul winning, you got you a pastor that's going to go door-to-door every day. Knock on doors. Every day somebody cusses him, slams the door in his face over and over and over and over again, and nobody shows up. That'll wear you out. He keeps on doing it because it's his duty. But, buddy, it gets tiresome. Now then, somebody could be a help and ease the burden with him by showing up. We'll be like, hey, preacher, I'll go knock on doors tomorrow. Hey, preacher, I'll help you knock on doors. I'll go over there. Hey, I'll hold you up for a minute. Maybe it's just he needs somebody to be like, hey, man, we appreciate what you do. We appreciate you getting up and preaching every week. Appreciate you coming down here and praying over the service and praying for each and every one of us. We appreciate you minding the Lord. Sometimes minding the Lord can be a burden. He'll tell you to do something you don't want to do, and it's tough. He told me to join the Navy. I said, ha-ha, fat chance. you see where I went. But anyway, I was like, man, no way I'm going over there with that bunch of reprobates. He called me to preach. I said, wrong one. You done made your first mistake, Lord. That was the first one you ever made, was calling me to preach. Ain't no way I can do it. Well, it was a big burden to me. I remember Brother Jared was around. He was one of the first people I called, right? And he helped me a lot with that. I fought hell with a water pistol over that, over stuff that you wouldn't hardly believe if I were to tell you. He'd be like, hey man, just, it's going to suck tomorrow. The devil's going to wear you out since you preached today. But it'll be worth it. Hey man, it's going to be tough, but just keep on. Just keep on. He'd just come over there and he'd lean up, keep my arms up for a minute. You know what I'm saying? You can be a help to another man by just easing the burden a little bit. Don't mean you're going to take it away, right? It might be something as simple as cutting his grass. Might be something as simple as cutting the church grass. It might be something as simple as calling him and saying, hey brother, I love you. Thank you for what you do. Little stuff like that can ease a burden a whole lot. We were fighting a battle, going through a storm, whatever you want to call it, not so long ago. It ain't over yet, but it's eased up for a minute, right? There was people calling me from all over the country. At least two states that I know of, and they'd be like, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. It's going to be all right. Just keep on keeping on. Hey, man, I know it's hard, but don't stop. It ain't worth quitting. Just keep it up. Man, that was a huge help to me. It helped relieve a burden a little bit, right? All right. So Moses, Aaron and Hur helped ease Moses' burdens. Number two, we find over in the book of Acts, chapter 12, that Peter was helped by the prayers of the church. Acts chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing for the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them to his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. Forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. Now then, we just read that intercession was made for him. Peter was helped by the prayers of the church. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 1, 11. It says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. He was helped by prayers. Now then, it ain't necessarily hard to get down on your knees and ask the Lord to help somebody, is it? The church got to praying for Peter. I don't even know if they knew what they were praying for. Sometimes you don't know what to say. I had a brother text me earlier in the week saying, hey man, I need a prayer answered right now. I need you to pray. So I've been praying. I don't know what to pray for him. He didn't go into detail, and I wasn't about to ask, right? Sometimes you may not know how to pray for somebody, but the Lord does. And you can say, Lord, I don't know what to say, but can you make intercession on his behalf? Lord, I don't know, but obviously it's enough that he's reached out for some help in praying on the matter. Lord, whatever his burden may be, would you please help him with it? Right? You can pray for your pastor. You can pray for your deacon. You can pray for your song leader, your piano player. You can pray for your brother and your sister and your mama and your daddy and your wife and your husband. You can pray for the person sitting in the pew across from you and help them. That's all it took for Peter. They just prayed. That's it. I ain't saying praying is easy. Sometimes it ain't. You get down on your knees and it feels like you're praying to that wall right there. It's like, my goodness, man, I thought we were all right. I don't remember any sin. Lord, forgive me for whatever I can't think of. But I don't want to pray to that wall no more. And then you just keep on praying. It turned to brick instead of sheetrock. Right there while you're trying to get things right. It's like, man, what in the world is happening? I ain't saying praying's always easy. That's why you labor in prayer, right? That's what it said. You work in it. But you can pray for somebody to help them. As far as simplicity goes, that's as simple as it gets. I've had people ask me before, hey man, what can I do for you? Pray. Pray. You can't help me physically. You can't give me no money for it. You can't heal me. You can't do this. You can't do that. Just pray. I don't know what else to say. Just pray. You can help your brothers and sisters in Christ with that. You can help a pastor. You can help a missionary. You can help somebody all the way across the world by praying. I had folks praying when I was in the Navy. My mother had heard this example one time. I don't know if it was real or if some preacher came up with it to make his preaching better. I don't know. Said there was some soldier overseas in the Middle East and they were trying to take some ground, retrieve something that had been locked up between them and the enemy. And every time they sent somebody, they got killed. Well, it got to the point that the commanding officer would no longer send anybody at his order and requested volunteers. Well, one young man stood up and said, sir, I'll volunteer, but it has to be at 1400 Eastern Standard Time. He said, well, if you're going to do it, I'll let you do it whenever you want to. Well, come around 1400, 2 o'clock, back wherever his home was, he jumped up, took off, got the mission done, came back. Commanding officer asked him, he said, well, how come it had to be at this time? He said, because Mama was praying at that time. He said, and she said, when I left, she'd be praying every day at 2 o'clock. And I knew that she'd be on her knees praying for me, and that's how I got it done. So my mama would pray for me every day at 2 o'clock, right? I could tell there were some times around about 2 o'clock, buddy, something bad be going on. I have some big old joker I was supposed to arrest or something, right? And you see me, I ain't very big. I'm about 5'6" on a good day, right? Back then, I was a whopping 160 pounds. Auburn gained me weight, right? Be sitting there thinking, man, I'm about to have to fight my way out of this one. And I'm tiny. I'm just going to have to go to Leavenworth. I'm going to have to shoot him. Because there ain't no way I'm going to survive a punch from this man, right? Just going to have to shoot him, ask forgiveness. I know they ain't going to give it to me, but I'd rather be locked up than dead, you know? And all of a sudden, it would turn around. There was one day, we're banging on somebody's door. We were told he done whooped his wife. They ain't coming. We can see him through the windows running back and forth. And I was like, good night, man. It's about to be on like Donkey Kong. And the other guy with me, he was more experienced than me. He was like, all right, Brown, make sure your pepper spray snapped in so they don't get it. Make sure your gun's locked in tight. He said, we about to have to fight real good. And I said, all right, and I'm trying to build myself up. And about the time we get the breacher kit, we're going to kick this door in. Door opens up. We take a step back. We done drawled up. One of us has a hand on the gun. The other one's got a hand on the pepper spray. And we got our fists locked up. We're like, man, we about to fight. Dude steps out like this. That was the Lord. Because I can't fight. Right? If I do, I don't fight fair. Right? I've got to shoot you because I ain't big. I already know it. Well, the Lord worked it out in those cases. I'm sure it had something to do with somebody back home praying for me. There was a time we had a bolo, or be on the lookout for some spies. I thought it was a bunch of baloney, right? I said, there ain't no actual spies over here in Guam. Why would they do that? They gave us a picture. We no more got out the gate. Guy was taking me to my post, and there they went. It's like, there's actual Russian spies on Guam, and we're calling it in, right? Now then, any other day, I'd probably been on the gate where they were going. That day, I was not. I imagine that had something to do with some prayers taking place. Now then, I personally think I would have loved to have been there to arrest them myself, right? That way I could tell everybody, yeah, I caught some Russian spies. You know, it sounds a whole lot cooler if you're the one that caught them, not the one that saw them. Somebody was praying for me. I've had days that I was down spiritually. Somebody prayed, and the Lord brought me up out of it. It's like times it seems like you can't get through it on your own prayers and somebody else makes intercession for you. You can help somebody by just simply praying for them. All right. Then we find that Aquila and Priscilla helped Paul by teaching others also. Find in Romans 16:13. Romans 16:13. It says, salute. Oh, man. I done wrote down the wrong one. That ain't it. Anyway, wherever it's at, and I'll find it later. It talks about Priscilla and Aquila being a help to Paul in the ministry. It's probably 16. It is 16? 3. I wrote down the 13. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Thank you, brother. He said they were his helpers. Now then, how were they helpers? Well, we find something about them over in the book of Acts, verses chapter 18, 24 through 28. We won't turn there for the sake of time. But it talks about how they found Apollos. And Apollos is over there preaching and teaching folks according to the baptism of John, because that's all he knew. But buddy, he was wound up and he was fired up for the Lord, and he was doing all he knew to do. Aquila and Priscilla saw him doing it and was like, hold up. Man, we like your zeal, but wait a second. John's baptism is gone. Jesus Christ was crucified, buried in a tomb, rose again 3 days later, and now then seated at the right hand of the Father. He done went up, right? They taught Apollos some things. Apollos ate it up. He turned around and went to proving to the Jews how Jesus Christ was the Messiah, right? Well, they went ahead. They saw a need. They saw somebody was out of line, not necessarily because he wanted to be, but because he hadn't learned any better. They went ahead and taught him. The Bible says over in 2 Timothy 2:2, it talks about giving. Let's just turn to that one. I just forgot it. Just read it. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Aquila and Priscilla were faithful. They had been delivered some sound doctrine, and they went and taught others also. Now then, it ain't always the pastor's responsibility. He is to teach. He's to rebuke, reprove, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, right? The Bible says being apt to teach. That's one of the requirements for a pastor. But it ain't always his job to do the correcting. If you see that somebody's messed up on something and they're talking to you and they're saying, man, I hope I don't lose my salvation this week, and they're serious, there ain't no reason to go running saying, hey, brother, they believe you can lose it. When you right there and you know yourself, you can turn over to 1 John 5:13 and say, hey, brother, sister, you ain't got to worry about that. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You ain't got to worry about it going nowhere. The Bible says ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Buddy, once you got born again, you're born again forever. You're going to heaven. You ain't never got to worry about going to hell no more. Right? It ain't always got to get to the preacher. Ain't always got to get to the Sunday school teacher. If you can take care of it, it's something simple. Right? Or they're like, man, I went and bought me a brand new Bible. The store clerk said this ASV is the best on the market. Yeah. And you can say, hey, You know what? That's a great Bible to hold on to for reference one day, but let me show you why you don't want to read that one. Right? And you can take them through it and say, hey, look at John 3:16. That corrects contradiction. Look over here in Acts chapter 2. It attacks the deity of Jesus Christ. It does it again in Luke chapter 2. Look at here. This verse is totally removed. That one's gone. This one has been added. You don't want to use that one. Hey, let me go get you a King James Bible. If you'll nip it in the bud, it ain't always got to get it way on up there. Quill and Priscilla didn't say, hey, hold on a minute. Let me go find Peter or Paul and let them talk to you right quick. No. They said, hey, let me show you something. They were willing to teach others also. Again, when I was getting out of the Navy, they had just put me in charge of a group of 40 military and civilian police officers. Right? I had just taken it. I hadn't had my rank very long. Yeah, I knew how to correct people. I mean, I could yell at them if I had to. I didn't like it. But I can't tell you how many times I had other people of the same rank. I was an E5 or a Petty Officer Second Class. I'd have other Petty Officer Second Classes coming to me. Only thing I had over them was positional authority, right? And they'd come to me, hey, Bram, you're going to have to fix so-and-so over there. Why, what'd she do? Man, she took her gun off and left it laying on the ground while she used the bathroom. Well, did you say anything to her? No. Well, you idiot, why didn't you say something? You were the one standing there when it happened. I'm going to walk over there because it happened every time I had to talk to her, which was a lot. And I'd walk over there, hey, somebody told me you left your gun laying on the ground. No, I didn't. Yeah. Yeah, I know you would just not lie to me about that because there's only 10 other people that saw it, right? But now then it's he said, she said, right? If he had just nipped it in the bud and said, hey, dummy, you never take your gun off. Why are you going to leave it out for a terrorist to get or somebody that hates police officers? You may have made somebody mad at the gate yesterday and now then they're going to shoot you with your own gun. How's that going to feel, right? Or she would smart off to somebody. And, I mean, I couldn't handle a smart aleck neither. I'd say, man, she's smarting off at the upper enlisted. Did you say anything to her? No. No, I'd lose my mind. Well, why didn't you lose your mind? Why are you coming to me? Now then it's going to be the same thing as every other time I talk to her. Hey, you can't be doing this. I didn't do it. You weren't supposed to have headphones in your ears when you're on duty, right? You had to be able to hear stuff. I had countless people come up, Brown, you're going to have to fix her. She got them earbuds in. Did you say anything? Nope. Did you say anything? Nope. Did you say anything? Nope. And man, how wonderful are y'all? You're just such a help and a blessing, right? Every day I come to work, I know I'm going to have to correct her over something that y'all wouldn't correct her over yourself. This is wonderful. And I'd go up and I'd say, hey, you can't be having your headphones in your ear. I haven't. I've never put my headphones in my ear. Really? Really? I got to the point I was having to take my second in command, be like, come on, let's go talk to her. That way you can say that there was five other people that seen her, and I can say there was five other people that seen her, and it's 2-1. Hey, stop wearing your headphones. Oh, I'm not. Man, if somebody else had corrected her beforehand, it would have never had to get to me. I was already having to work 4, 5, 6 hours longer than the regular shift over different stuff, right? And I was having to try to check out of the Navy. I was doing paperwork. Like, man, I can't wait to get out of this place. I was having to do all sorts of stuff. And these people are making it harder because now then I got to take time out of my busy schedule and come over here and say, hey, dummy, you can't take your gun off. Like I should be telling you that, right? If somebody else who'd seen it, who was of equal rank that I was, if somebody of her low rank had seen it and said, hey, keep your gun on, I wouldn't have had to worry about it, right? I wouldn't have had to take time out of whatever else I was doing. I was having to write accident reports and all sorts of other junk. Have to stop that because that was a time-consuming process and come over here and say, stop being dumb, right? I ain't saying it's going to be to that extent, but you'll have people who show up who's like, man, I just don't know how you can't lose it. And then if it proceeds further, say, hey, preacher, man, they ain't getting it. You're going to have to talk to them. They convince that you can lose your salvation. You have somebody that was Jehovah's Witness or something, they get converted. And they talking about burn up. They ain't going to hell. Or their mom and daddy didn't go to hell. They just burn up. Hey, preacher, we done took them through Luke 16. You're going to have to break it down for them. But let it be after somebody else that's heard it. They just go ahead and nip it in the bud and say, hey, let me show you something. Let me teach you. I want to be apt to teach. I want to help you. This is what the Bible says. Now, you ain't a jerk to them because they don't know any better. A lot of times, folks just don't know. I've learned with the King James, a lot of times people just have no idea that the King James is the Word of God. They have no idea what's missing in an NIV, an ASV, a New King James, and all that other stuff. There was a preacher in Pell City one time. He was preaching out whatever he picked up that day. And I think I was 17, maybe 18 years old. My brother would have been 15 or 16. And they were going over it. Me and him had been preaching for a few years. And then we were in their homeschool group. They went to saying something. They pulled out an NIV. Hey, show me something in this Bible. We were like, well, hey, let me show you something about this one right here while I got you. Right? We'd flip over to those that were missing. Find that verse. You'd say, it ain't there. Exactly. Here, look at this one. Now then, let's read what mine says. It left the blood out. It sure did. You know what they went to preaching out of a few weeks later? A King James. All it took was showing them. Didn't have to get up there and yell and holler and spit and everything else. All you had to do was say, hey, let me show you why that one ain't the one you need. Brother Jared and his daddy were riding down the road one time. They had somebody working with them that was a newborn in Christ. And his daddy said that the Lord kept telling him to talk to that guy about the NIV he was carrying around with him. He was taking it to work with him. Big old NIV. And he said, nope, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. Well, Jared wasn't the brightest thing when he was in his early 20s. And he was taking off old keys and throwing them out the window. Well, one of them ran up under the tire and popped it, right? And then they had a flat. And the Lord said, now tell him about that NIV. So he told him about the NIV. You know what he went to picking up? A King James. All it took was somebody just showing him. All right, and then finally, we find that Abishai was a help to David by simply being there. If you went over to 1 Samuel 26, we'll find where Saul is asleep down below David. And David turns to two of his men and he says, hey, which one of you is going with me? And Abishai spoke up real quick. He said, I'll go. So him and David went down into the camp. And they walking around. Abishai sees Saul and he said, hey, man, you let me smite him to the ground. I'll hit him one time. I'll make it quick and painless. I won't hit him again. Let me kill him. David made him back off. But you'll find not only here, but several places where Abishai stepped up and he said, hey, let me be a help. After Absalom had taken over the kingdom, you'll find that one of the seed of Saul had run out to meet David and went to cursing him. Old Abishai jumped up and he said, who's he to curse God's anointed? Let me go over there and kill him. Old King David said, no, not today. Today's been bad enough. We ain't going to kill him too. Later on, old David's in the heat of a battle and he's done gotten old. Abishai sees that he's about to be overtaken. Abishai runs over there and he slays those people around him. He says, you ain't coming back to battle no more. Abishai was a help over and over and over again by simply being there. We read over in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Having somebody there with you and just knowing they're there oftentimes is the best help you can have. They might not do nothing. They might want to do something stupid, like run off and kill old King Saul, right? David's like, no, now back off. back off a little bit. He's the Lord's anointed. We can't do that. But I tell you what, we'll take his spear with us, and we'll prove to him that we ain't out to hurt him. But old Abishai, he jumped up and he said, you know what, if we get down there and we get caught, I'll be right there to fight with you. They didn't have to, but Abishai was there. He was the first one to jump up and say, hey man, I go down there. Come to the battle, Abishai's over there, he's fighting. While he's fighting his own battle with these men, he looks over and he's checking on his buddy. He said, oh man, old David done got in a pickle. And he goes over there and he helps him out. A lot of times you can be a help to somebody, to a Christian, to a preacher, just by showing up. I can tell you from personal experience that preaching to one person is very awkward. Right? If it's only one and you're preaching online, man, I wonder who the liar is. It's either you or that fellow you're preaching to. Right? It gets pretty awkward then. You come in, and I know myself, there's been times I didn't want to be at church. I walked into the place, and I'm like, man, I just don't want to be here. And I have an uncle who hurts all the time. He's sickly, right? And I'll look up, and here comes old Uncle Rick hobbling in. And it just makes my day better. It's like, well, old Uncle Ricky showed up. He's here. If he can be here, I can be here. And it's a help. It can be a help to you, preacher. It can be a help to those fighting with you if you'll just show up. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for being so good to us, loving us and dying for us. I ask, Lord, you please help us through the service. If there's anyone here that's never accepted you as their Savior, I ask that today be the day of their salvation. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done, all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.